Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Tracy Nguyen, who is the CEO and founder of Bowo Creative. Today, we're going to be discussing Tracy's journey of building her agency and what she's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Tracy.
Thank you so much for having me, Julia. It's a pleasure. Yeah,
happy to have you here. So to get started, let's dive into a couple of questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sure.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an agency owner?
Well, Bowo Creative is our mm-hmm. agency. And I know a lot of people call it Bow Wow because I think when you first see the name, it's easy to pronounce it that way. But it's actually yes. a short form of Boss Women. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, so our agency was created on the idea of, supporting and helping female-led businesses to grow their brands and grow their online presence with a team of boss women as well, who also understands their business, understand the struggle mm-hmm. as a business owner and understand how we can take that load off their shoulder in terms of digital and social media marketing and help them scale their business. And it incorporates this idea of building up women as a community. Mm-hmm. And so far, I have to say that it has been a rewarding journey, just seeing other women succeeding and also connect them, because we would have one client who's doing one thing and have another client doing another thing and mm-hmm. be able to connect them to say, hey, why don't we collaborate on a campaign, on an event? And then they get to meet each other and become friends. And, they have their own relationship, partnership, and friendship. And this is kind of like a little really amazing circle of all ambitious and successful women who are really confident in themselves, confident in their business, and also open to work with other women to grow the brand and the business.
Yeah, that's such an interesting niche. And I love that you're supporting other women and female entrepreneurs out there. And so what was your, your motivating factor to start a marketing agency in the first place?
I have to say this was kind of fell on my lap. I never had an idea of starting a marketing agency or any of that sort. I was actually born and raised in Vietnam and I came here. I came to Canada at 16 as an international student. And so when I first came here, there was just a lot of pressure on my back because, as an international student, we paid a lot to just be here and getting the education. So it's almost like I cannot make a wrong career decision because it will cost a lot. Yeah. And my parents worked really hard back home just to be able to send me here. So when I started my university, it was very clear that I would pursue career in some sort of legal aspect. So my first year I was actually in law and business, and I did my first year and I realized this is not really where you know, I'm very passionate on the mm-hmm. topics and whatnot. Like I thought I was. It's kind of cool thinking about being a lawyer and all that stuff. But when I actually got into the materials, I'm like, I don't know. And it kind of also limit my ability to expand internationally because, you know, I would have to know the law in a certain country first to have a practice and whatnot. So,
right.
I started to lean a little bit on the business side. And when I was looking at all of the majors within business, I just thought marketing would be fun because I've always been such a creative kid since I was little. Yeah. But then my dad was like, no, don't go with marketing because you were not born and raised here. English is your second language. You're not going to be able to, you know, have that communication skills that, you know, a native born Canadian would have. And that would be like a disadvantage for you. So like go with something that is very science-based, like 1 + 1 = 2. So like accounting or finance, because like you don't need communication skills for that. But I'm like, I love communicating. I love doing creative stuff. And like even in university, I used to run this blog with a friend. And what we did was we were basically on the street of Toronto taking photos of like random people that have really cool style. And we call it City Flair, and it was like a street style fashion blog. So I've always been really passionate about creative work. And but I listened to him and we kind of compromised a little bit. So I ended up in business management. So it's kind of in between marketing and the numbers because I was not good at math. And so I graduated, got a full-time job in the corporate world and in human resource management. And you know, 3 months in, I started to realize that like, this is also not me. I really hate just being stuck behind a cubicle and just doing the work because I was told to.
You didn't have that outlet where you could be expressing that creative side.
Exactly.
Of you.
Yeah, 100%. And I remember I would be, you know, sitting in my cubicle and looking at like other people's YouTube channel and reading fashion blogs and just be like, oh, that's what I really wanted to do. And I love beauty industry. I just love beauty in general as a woman. I always spend so much money on like, you know, makeup and skincare. And I've always been so curious about like what ingredients and whatnot. And I suffer from like skin problems at a young age too, which affects my confidence. So I became really geeky with all the skincare ingredients and whatnot. So at that time, I decided that like, hey, you know, I need a full time job just to pay my bills and, you know, sustain me to live in Canada. But on the side, I can start an online business. So, you know, the business can run when I'm still working a full-time job, kind of like a side hustle without the need of me being there. And, it, you know, anyone can start an online business from a laptop. So I wanted to start a beauty business selling like cosmetics and makeup products. And
interesting.
Yeah, like I was going through the whole process of like looking for suppliers and all that stuff. And I didn't have the capital to start because most of the suppliers at the time were the one that I spoke to. They required a lot of investment for minimum orders. And, you know, me fresh out of school, like just invest in my first property and all that stuff. I'm like, I just made enough to pay my bills. Like I don't have money to invest in a business. So at the time, a friend of mine in high school approached me and he introduced me to this concept of network marketing. Which I left after 5 years, but I was so brainwashed into that concept for 5 years, and it that's like another story. it really helped me with my actually building my agency now because I've learned a lot of what not to do when I was there. So now that I have my own business, I've made those mistakes already. But anyway, so when with that network marketing business, it was a lot of like sellings, hosting all these makeup and skincare parties and all that stuff, and invite your friends and families. Very it wasn't Avon, but it was very Avon kind of vibe.
That same structure.
And I struggled a little bit because I'm like, I don't have families and friends here. Who am I inviting over? And I was just renting a basement. Like I can't invite people to my basement to host a makeup party. So that's when I started to look at other ways that I can market my business without having to do the cringy, you know, makeup parties kind of style. And I discovered blogging. So at the time it was like Tumblr. I don't know if like anyone even remember that, but that was like blogging, WordPress.com. Yep. So I just started a free blog. And what I did was I reviewed these products on my blog and just really, you know, sharing my own experience about what I like, what I don't like about the products, or if it helps me. And I started getting viewers, I started getting clicks. And then next thing I know, I started having customers from pretty much all over the world. Like I get orders from South Africa, from like the most random places in the world. And this is around like 2012, 2013. So Instagram just came on as well. And that's when I started learning Instagram. And then at first, it just came from the idea of building, like finding a way to sell stuff so I can grow my network marketing business. And then it turns into bigger brands sending me free products to reviews. And then they start paying me to review these products. And then it just opened my mind to this whole like, wow, like you can actually make money online. And so I was able to build my brand to sort of like a content creators kind of, you know, reviewing products and stuff through blogs and get paid to do so. And then I started getting people asking me like, how did you do that? Like, how did you grow your Instagram to this amount? How did you get all these brand deals? And so I start like teaching people for free to just like go out with them for coffee and stuff. And what I noticed at the time, and a lot of them were business owners, actually. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time I noticed that I sat down with them, I gave them all these, you know, not really advices, but just like my experience and what I've done that worked for me. They walked away feeling inspired, but then a week later, they don't do anything about it. You know, like I kind of feel like, oh, by meeting with them and sitting down with them, I'm doing both of us a disservice because, you know, they walked away feeling inspired, but they don't have the time or the resource to carry out the action themselves to help the business, right? Yeah. And like, I'm here and I'm having all these skills and knowledge. And I was kind of like at the point when I'm like, I really don't like my full-time job anymore. And I walked away from my full-time job in 2014 to be full-time with my network marketing business. But then in 2018 is when I started to feel like the network marketing business structure was kind of like they kind of have a mold that they wanted me to fit in. And I was the only one in the entire team, so to speak, that actually had a personal brand. And it got to a point where people were actually approaching me to be involved with my business, as opposed to me being like, hey, I have this great business, you want to join? But they didn't like the, you know, the team or whatever the structure was. They didn't really like that because it's hard to copy and paste. And to them, they want something that is easy to copy and paste. But building a personal brand is like, this is me and that's you, right? Like I can teach you how to build yours, but you cannot copy mine. The network marketing business, the corporate team actually spotted me out, and they actually provided me some opportunities to host a couple of international trainings to train other people as well. For free. You know, I wasn't getting paid for it. Mm. And that's like, you kind of see how I was saying that it kind of fell in my lap, because I just started connecting the dot. And then I realized, like, you know, I'm struggling in this business trying to make money and putting on a front that we are making money, but there's just so much politics and stuff going behind the scenes that people don't know, that our income was not really what they were advertised outside. And it got to a point when I felt like, this is not really me. Like, I'm the type that if I'm this, I'm going to be this. You know, I don't want to put on a front to make people feel like I'm successful while behind the scenes I'm like struggling or stressed out about paying my bills. And this is not authentic to me. And so I decided to quit that business. And when I came out, one of my mentors just like, hey, you already speaking, you already training people, you already have all these skills. Why don't you just start getting your own clients and help them build their brand instead? Mm-hmm. So that's how it all started. Sorry, it's a long story, but I kind of had to explain it because I don't think, like a lot of people think like one day you just wake up and be like, hey, I'm going to start an agency and, you know, with a phone and a laptop and you just start. I might be jumping a little ahead from your questions, but, you know, a lot of the skills that I was building back then really helped me kind of thrive when I actually started my agency, because I was selling makeup, I was selling like supplements, I was selling all sort of stuff. And when I looked back, I was like, because a lot of the new entrepreneurs, you know, the lack of confidence selling their products and services at the beginning, you know, they feel I don't know how to find leads, or I don't know how to talk to people or to sell my products. Me at the time was actually the opposite, because I was selling pretty much everything under the moon and people were buying it. So I was like, oh, if I'm selling someone else's products, these are products that I didn't develop or have any emotional connection to it. And I was able to sell them just to make my ends meet, like just needed to make money to pay my bills because I already quit my full-time job. Now I'm selling myself. I'm selling my own brand and, you know, I'm selling my own products. I should have no problems selling my services now. And that's why, you know, when at the beginning it was growing pretty fast. Compared to my expectations.
That's really interesting. So I'm really curious what those strategies were that you were using to bring in leads into your agency in the early days, and how that evolution has kind of taken place so that you've been able to grow the agency. So yeah, just tell us how you brought in leads in the early days, and then versus, you know, how you're doing that now to continue to grow BoWo Creative.
Right. Great questions. I think that sometimes when I talk about my agency, people think of me 2018 as a starting point, because that's when, you know, I incorporate my business and have an Instagram account that say BoWo Creative and started to tell people this is what I do now. But a lot of the leads that I was able to close as a client at the beginning were actually the people that I've met while I was building the previous business. And while I was building my brand as, you know, a content creator, because I would get, you know, a mom and pop's kind of beauty business reach out to me and say, hey, I saw you worked with XYZ brand and I just got started. Like, are you willing to work with me? And we'll figure out the structures and whatnot. And I, at the time, I was like, hell yeah, like I'll work for you for free. Cause like, you know, I love empowering women. I would charge the big brand because I know they have the money to pay me. But for you, like I'll do it for free. And that's where we also build this very authentic relationship and partnership. And when I started my agency, a lot of them came to me and say, oh, wow, like, can you help me with my business? So in a way, you know, I think that I didn't have to, like, I went through that whole 5 years with the network marketing business to really build up it was the right moment for me to start the agency. So at the beginning, it was just a lot of referrals, word of mouth, because a lot of people already knew of me that way.
Just utilizing your network.
Yeah, literally just utilizing my network. And I think one of the biggest lesson that I've got as well is a lot of the time when someone first started the business, they get caught up in this idea of I have to bring on a lot of leads. I have to bring on a lot of clients. And because I've been in the numbers game with the network marketing business before, and I know, like, because we were recruiting and retailing and prospecting like crazy. So for us, it's just like, if you say no, next, you know, we're just going through people like crazy. So I didn't want that for my business. I wanted to make sure that anyone that I bring on board as my client is the clients that I would wake up every day feeling excited about helping. You know, I didn't want to repeat that same mistake that I did in the previous business. And so instead of focusing on just getting a bunch of leads and a bunch of clients, I was focusing on really wowing the first client. And with that, it shows, right? You know, whenever you have, you know, create results for your clients, it shows. And then the clients start marketing me to other clients. And then even the people around them start asking them, like, who managed your marketing? Because like, we saw a difference, like, who does this? And that's really my first, I would say my first 2 to 3 years in business was a lot of that. And I'm very thankful for that as well. We spend $0 on marketing for the first 3 years.
Interesting.
No ads. Yeah. Nothing on like Google, PPC, none of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then is that something that you've incorporated as the agency has grown?
It is now. So word of mouth is still very powerful and is still very solid for us. But we have expanded that a lot in the recent years. We have all of our marketing funnels kind of planned out. So, you know, we have our like our SEO in place, our websites and content strategy in place, combined with social media marketing. And I think a lot of the time people jump straight to social media because it's getting such a big hype. But if you don't have a marketing foundation, so you don't have a solid website, people cannot find you on Google.
Yes.
It's difficult, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and with social media, you kind of have to play by Facebook or Instagram rule. Like whenever they change the algorithm, people freak out so much because they don't have the marketing foundations. And for us, we really place a lot of focus on website content, email marketing. And then we add the cherry on top with the social media content.
Okay. So yeah, that's really interesting. And because your company has been built off of a lot of referrals along the way, you've made some amazing connections. How do you ensure that you're maintaining happy clients, that they're going to continue to, you know, be advocates for your company and bring in those referrals for you?
You know what? That's actually the questions I ask myself every day.
I love that.
As well as I grow, because that's a struggle, right? Especially in the agency industry, because what you're offering to other people is service. You know, you're offering the idea that they can save their time and their resources by working with you and leveraging your knowledge and your skills, right? But that's also difficult to scale because, you know, it's hard to find other people out there that also have the same experience and the skill sets that you have. I'm lucky enough to have a very small team that are very talented and they can do a lot. but yeah, it's a struggle for us. I wouldn't say it's a struggle. I would choose the word challenge. It's a challenge for us every day to balance that. Like, you know, how do we make sure that we still maintain our customer satisfactory here with like clients have been with us for years and being able to bring new clients on and still make them happy. So it's a balance. And I feel like sometimes it's just knowing your priority as well, you know, like your purpose, like what was your agency created for? And, you know, don't get me wrong. Like I would love for us to be making millions right now and we're definitely not there, but we're happy and we're very we feel very fulfilled when we're able to help someone solidly. So our focus is not always about getting a lot of clients, but more of just, you know, solid clients. And I found out that we're able to charge more when we do that.
Right. Okay. So you are really focused on connecting with the types of clients who you just feel are going to be a really good fit. So ones who are, you maybe have like the same values, you're aligned that way, and that you're really passionate about their brand. And you just focus on maybe a smaller number of higher quality clients.
Yeah. So that's what we have been doing for the last few years. However, this year specifically, we're actually working on developing some sort of digital products to provide to the clients who maybe just started their business yesterday and don't have a big budget to hire us. And what they don't have is money, but what they have is time. So we're actually developing some sort of digital products to help them to use their time to build something on their own. Yeah, like a done with you, because so far the only services that we are offering right now is done for you. So we kind of want to give back to the community that way, to help more, you know, women who just started the business and specifically in the beauty industry. So that's another reason why, you know, for us, the goal was never to get a tons of clients because of the niche that we chose, and we're very specifically specialized in the beauty industry, because that's where like my background is from, and that's where a lot of us, like, our passion is from. And we understand the beauty industry, we understand the skincare ingredients, we understand medical cosmetic procedures. So when a client wants to hire us, they don't have to educate us on a lot of services that they already offering, because we already know what, you know, certain laser treatment can do, and, you know, certain machine, like what can it do, the benefits and all that stuff. Right. So for us, because we're so specialized, we were able to price ourselves a little, we wouldn't say like we're on the higher end, but a little more premium, because the client is paying for that, you know, that skills or that knowledge that a general agency might not offer them that.
Yeah. And it's so interesting that you guys are also building a platform out so that you guys can be, you know, making your services more accessible to businesses that might have a smaller marketing budget. So I think that's really cool as well.
Thank you. Yeah. It's about time. We've been talking about it for years, but like you said, it's been a challenge for us to expand our team. And I don't know if you can relate to this as well. I mean, you've been in it for 8 years, right? So
yes.
So you kind of know or relate to a lot of our challenges. Is the turnover in terms of human resource in this industry is really high as well.
Absolutely. And it's something that, yes, agency owners talk about all the time, is it's so important to be taking care of your team members, to try and, you know, just create more loyalty. You've got to create happy team members, because then they're going to be a lot more loyal. But it can be a huge challenge.
It can. And you know, it's also the generational perspective towards, you know, having a long-term career. I found that younger individuals, they don't believe in that. And, you know, and especially in digital marketing, you need someone who's young, who understands the trends. And a lot of them, they still don't know what they want out of their life yet. They're just, you know, testing out, you know, the jobs and see where they want to grow. So that kind of the challenge for us is, you know, hiring talented young people who also, you know, like see commitments, because I found that the younger generations, they're quite happy and content with the life. So it's not so much about the pay or making them feel like a part of certain, you know, environment. Is like, if they want to explore the world and be working from a laptop from Bali, they would do that for themselves, right? So as an agency, we kind of need someone who can actually be committed, be local or more stable. And so that's kind of where we're thinking, you know, maybe providing something more accessible, provide something that can be easily rinse and repeat, would be also better for us as an agency, and have a mix of both, not either or, but just having a mix of both and targeting two different types of audience that needs our services.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing BOO Creative?
Oh, I think there's so many challenges, but I think the biggest challenge is actually, you know, growing myself to catch up with the business speed.
Right.
Because the business was growing fast, but I was not growing as fast as the business in terms of like my mindset, you know, how I look at even the possibilities of like, okay, I can actually build a successful business. Like that's like a, you know, like we have those days when we wake up and we're like, yeah, we're gonna be able to build like a successful business. And someday we wake up and we're like, oh man, I don't know if I can do this.
Yes.
And so that's the biggest challenge for me. It's just, you know, matching my personal growth and my mindset to the level of growth that I want my agency to be. And that kind of translates into, you know, even the idea of charging the price that we think we deserve, right? You know, I made a mistake of really operating from this place of like, I've built my business to six figures by myself. Mm-hmm. So when I got team members on board, I was still charging the same price that I was charging when I was running it by myself, you know, because right. I couldn't overcome that mindset. Like, oh, what if they think I'm more expensive? Or, you know, like it was a constant challenge for me to just have that conversation with myself, to up level myself to the level of the business growth.
That's interesting.
I want to see. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So what were some ways that you overcame that? You know, I know you mentioned that you have a mentor. Were there any books you read? Like, how were you able to get past that block in your mind?
I think I still have it, but now I just have the tools to, when, you know, the thought comes up, I'm able to say, wait, like, let's evaluate where this is coming from, and can we change it? Can we switch our mindset? Having a mentor is really, really big. I think having just someone that you look up to, someone who's already very successful mm-hmm. in their own business, my mentor, she's awesome. She's amazing. Her story is just so incredible. Like, I wish I could tell the whole world about her. But she kept me grounded so much, in the sense that she always reminded me to, like, not focus on, you know, the vanity metrics, focus on the long term, thinking ahead and planning ahead. Books as well. Like, I used to read, and then I don't have time, so now I just listen to Audible, but I go through about like two books a month. Nice. And I found that those really help. And some of the books I just re-listen, like, I love it so much that I would go back and re-listen. And every time I re-listen to a book, I always learn something new. It's weird. It's almost like, you know, you're like a little older and you just get the things that the younger you didn't get.
Yeah, it's so true.
Right. Yeah. So books is huge. And also, like, invest in myself. Like, every year I set out a budget to invest in some sort of courses, some sort of, you know, mastermind, that kind of put myself in the circle of people who already done what I want to do, and mm-hmm. they've been there, done that, and are successful. I will always want to put myself there, because I feel that sometimes I overthink and I doubt myself and I question myself. And then when I read the story, or when I talk to them, I just feel like, oh, I'm making a tornado out of a teacup. You know, like, this is nothing. I should just, like, shut up and take action and learn and just grow. And yeah, I think those have been really helpful.
Yeah. I think it's so relatable, because so many entrepreneurs, they, you know, you're up in your head, you have so many things you're trying to balance, and you have that anxiety that crops up from time to time about, you know, am I headed in the right direction? Am I meeting my goals? Like, how can I be doing better? How can I be keeping my clients happy? There's so many things that you're juggling. And yeah, I mean, you just, at the end of the day, you just gotta keep going and know that you're not alone. There's tons of people that are going through the same thing. And it's cool whenever you have those wins. And I think it's really important to acknowledge those wins too, to see, you know, where you came from. And, you know, you've made that growth, you've accomplished these things along the way. So I think, you know, acknowledging that and celebrating those wins along the way is really important too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was actually one of the lessons I've learned as well while building my agency, is that, you know, the pressure of like being successful, mm-hmm. you know, you look at other people on social media and you hear all these success stories and you expect, you know, your journey to be the same. And like I said, like, most people don't look at my agency. They don't look at my 5 years of building in a network marketing business. They just look at when I opened my agency, but those 5 years taught me so much skills in like mental toughness and, you know, all of that to carry on to my agency, right? But then I'm saying that, but at the same time, I caught myself comparing my agency or my growth to someone else. And I didn't give enough time to celebrate anything. It's just almost like, okay, what's next? Like, how can we right. do better? Like you said.
Yeah.
And I had to learn to really celebrate that, you know, like value myself and my worth first. And again, that connects with like the whole money mindset and how much to charge and how to scale your business, or like, do you even deserve to build a successful business in your own mind? Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you brought up a really great point. I love that.
Thank you. Yeah. So interesting. So where do you see BOWO Creative in 5 years' time? What are your goals for your agency?
Yeah, well, our goals, I think, has always been the same, is to help as many women as possible, mm-hmm. to be successful in their business. And we love being, you know, the behind the scenes team. We love being the one that is not, you know, like not in the spotlight. We just love doing the work behind the scene and seeing results and generating yeah. results for these clients. And just, I don't know if this is kind of like specific to women, but you know, when a woman succeeds, it's not just about her. Mm-hmm. Or when we help a female led business, take off that marketing load off their shoulders and let them focus on doing the things that they are really good at. Mm-hmm. It's a different glow. You know, they fall more in love with the business. They mm-hmm. generate better results with the business. And then they also get more free time to spend with their family and their kids and whoever else that, you know, that's are important in their life. And
yes,
that is just so fulfilling for us on our end to see yeah. that. And we have clients who we've been with since they first opened the business for 6 months. And now they open the second location and they open the third location and they just
that's
keep
so
expanding
cool.
their team. And, you know, yeah. it's so cool, right? And now I call them clients, but, you know, on the weekdays we're clients, well, on the weekend we're almost friends. We talk about, you know, other life problems, and we share a lot of struggles and challenges as business owners, you know, even mm-hmm. though it's different industry, it's almost identical
right.
in terms of the challenges. And we kind of grow together. Like, we would have conversation like, oh, remember when you and I were like this, and now you have this kind of team and I have this kind of team and our business is doing this much. And for us, that's our ultimate goal. It's just, you know, counting the names of the women that we're able to help building successful businesses.
Yeah. Well, that's so cool. And it's so rewarding when you're able to work with a client who gets to that point now where they're opening a second location and a third location, and you know that you've had a hand in helping them, you know, mm-hmm. bring on more team members from that growth and help them, you know, grow their families and provide for their families. So, yeah, I love that. And I love your mission to help as many female-led businesses as possible.
Thank you.
Awesome. So we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the fast five. So I have five rapid fire questions for you. Are you
okay,
ready?
I'm ready. Yep.
All right. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
The current book that I absolutely love is called Relentless: How to Go From Good to Great and Great from Unstoppable.
Oh, awesome. Highly that's, recommend it. Tim Grover, right?
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes. I read that last year. Yeah, it was really good. I love that book.
It is really good. Yeah.
And what does your morning routine look like?
Hi. Yeah, so my morning routine is basically based on this book called The Miracle Morning. And it goes by this thing called SABR. So S is for silence, so meditate. A for affirmation. So, you know, I read my affirmation every morning. V for visualization. So look at, you know, your dream board, your goal boards, or whatever it is that in mm-hmm. front of you. I have mine on my in my bedroom and on my desktop, screensavers, EV visualization. Oh, E is for exercise. So try to like squeeze in like 10, 15 minutes just stretching, yoga, or like on my Pelotons. Yeah. And then R is reading. So do, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. Before I used to do 10 pages a book. Now I listen to Audible when I take my morning shower after the workout. Mm-hmm. And then the last one, S, is scribing. So journaling. So just because I only have so much time to myself in the morning before, mm-hmm. you know, checking emails and dealing with the problems and stuff.
Yeah.
My journaling is very short. It's just like 3 things that I'm grateful for the day.
Oh, I love that. And yeah.
Yeah. So awesome. I think they have this journal. They sell it at Chapters Indigo, and it's called the 5 Minutes Journal. So it's asked you like for 3 things that you are grateful for that day. One line affirmations. And then at night it asks you for like the 3 things that happened during the day that like you love or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I found it's really helpful because it trained my mind to focus on the positivity right away and be totally. Grateful first.
Yes.
Before I open it. My inbox, because there's always problems
yeah.
coming at us as business owners.
Yep. And the more you do that exercise, the more you consciously think about things that you're grateful for, the more it just becomes an automatic reaction. Mm-hmm. And you'll be doing things and you'll find yourself thinking like, wow, like this, I'm so lucky that I have access to this.
Or yeah exactly.
Just 100%. Thinking on like thinking about the positive side. So yeah. I love that you do that every morning.
Yeah, you know, like, I don't know if you go downtown Toronto a lot, but like for me, even if I hop on the 404 or DVP one day and there's no traffic during mm-hmm. that time where it's supposed to be traffic, I'm just like, thank you, universe. Like, I'm so grateful for this. That's because so I funny. Hate being stuck in traffic. But, you know, little
yes,
things really 100%. Change perspective. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. And then is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I study a lot of different CEO, but the one that I'm actually really admire right now and like I actually just invested in one of her courses as well is Natalie Ellis. She's the co-founder of Boss Babe. So
okay.
Yeah, like it's just her whole journey of building that whole empire, just so inspiring. Yeah. And also, you know, I found a lot of alignments in that because she's also building this huge community of women who are ambitious and going after what they want. And it's like 3.5 million followers on Instagram. And yeah, like it is really where I envision BOWO to be. Maybe not the exact business structure, but we would love to be able to support that kind of community and make a yeah. difference.
Yeah. Awesome. And what is your favorite online tool?
My favorite online tool right now would be, well, for me as a social media agency is Canva. We do everything
I love Canva.
On Canva.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, we do everything on Canva. And actually some of the digital products that we're launching is Canva templates for business cool. owners.
Nice.
So yes, I would have to say Canva.
Very good. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
To stand up for myself and speak up more mm-hmm. and knowing that, you know, this is your business and you have the option to choose who you want to work with.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's something I didn't know when I first started my business. And I was saying yes to everybody because I was new and I needed to make money. And so I said yes to a lot of clients that I shouldn't have said yes to and, mm-hmm. you know, go through the whole headaches and all these disalignment to realize like, oh my God, like I'm now turning to dislike my business because of all the stress that all these clients put on me. But then when I took a few steps back, I realized that, you know what, these are not supposed to be my clients. And I have the option to choose and I have to be very strict with that.
Yeah.
it's almost like choosing your partner or your boyfriend or your husband, right? Like I'm choosing my clients these days based on a certain benchmark as well, and not selling yourself short and be a people pleaser. That was huge for me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something that so many women struggle with. And yeah, just, you know, learning how to say no, it's okay to say no. And also knowing how to put those boundaries in place, I think is so important. So yeah, definitely an amazing tip.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Tracy. It was a pleasure to have you on the show. And I really enjoyed learning about your journey of starting and growing BOWO Creative. So thank you again for joining me for today's episode.
Thank you so much, Julia. It's been so fun. And I would love to also feature you on my podcast as well, because I also want to hear your story. And I feel like we can relate to each other so much. So I'm excited for that part too.
Yes, we will definitely make that happen. And then what is the name of your podcast for any of our listeners?
So my podcast is not launched yet. It will be launched in January 1st, 2023. And it's called The Glow Empire.
Ooh, very cool. Can't wait to check that out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.